Hello and welcome. We are back and we are back on Facebook.
I know. I mean,
it's just.
I'm happy to be back on Facebook.
We are back. We've never been happier to be on Facebook than we have at this moment.
I feel bad that we had to give up on a couple of our key fellowship issues and that we had to cater to the man to make it happen.
Yes.
But we're back.
This coming Sunday, you're going to have something tattooed on Pastor Harley's head as payment. That will go Facebook on his head.
Metaverse supporter. Yeah, you'll find that that we'll have to give some free props now to the Metaverse. Yep. No, it's still good. I'm glad that we were able to do that, because I think it helped out for people to easily access. So
here we are. We talked. Two of you guys talked on preached this past Sunday. I did not. I had a guest preacher. We had a Fox Valley Lutheran High School Sunday, and so I did not preach. So I am just here for the flashy buttons and to facilitate the discussion. So our text for this previous Sunday, the gospel lesson, what was the gospel lesson? We had a completely different text and or readings than you guys did. So we had Jesus. Do you have anything to eat? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, we went back to the upper room.
So resurrection reality was the ongoing theme for Easter. If you're following the foundation series, where you're thinking about a message that we have to share, so both Pastor Harley and Pastor Endorf preached on the same text. So why don't we read that text? And since Pastor Harley is on top, he'll go first, and then Pastor Endorf will go second after that. I have declared it, seeing as I'm only here for the flashy buttons and for you to gaze upon the magnificent beard. The bearded wonder is here. Reverend Beard is here, making an appearance. So 1 John 1, 5 to chapter 2, verse 2. This is the message we heard about him and proclaimed to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him but still walk in darkness, we are lying and do not put the truth into practice. But if we walk in the light just as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. From all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and the truth is not in us. My children, I write these things to you so that you will not sin. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the entire world. It's just me. Wait, hold on a second. Here we go. That's like the preacher waking up 40 minutes before church and saying, by the way, your guest pastor isn't making it, so go ahead. You can preach on something, right? Yeah, that's how I felt there for three milliseconds, and then I switched the scene.
Yeah, that was it's a beautiful text. It was, my Bible is all marked up from writing notes and things in this text. What made it interesting is as we had a discussion on it earlier in the week, last week, John is being blunt and beautifully so. I mean, he's really not pulling back on what needs to be said, and he's really hitting every single point on the way down. So he's kind of boxing people in, and he starts off with, you know, these beautiful statements that are encapsulated in, if you try to find yourself and try to make it seem like you're outside of what he's saying, he traps you and then funnels you to where he would like you to be, which is the message ultimately of forgiveness in Christ. And here's Christ for you, always for you. So I started my sermon with, and my sermon just was if then. That was my sermon theme, if then. But I started it with kind of going back to something that they don't have anymore, but computer labs. You remember computer labs? And I had said, you know what a computer lab was for the people that don't remember those. You know, it's where they had 20 computers all in a room and it was blistering hot because of all the computers running, and they had the big screens, and you'd walk in and you'd learn your typing. And then if you were really good, you could maybe play Math Blaster, or if, you know, if it was really a special day, you could play Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, or Oregon Trail, which we all loved Oregon Trail. And I said, unfortunately, you know, my trip or my crew on Oregon Trail would always die of dysentery. So it was always one of those fun things. I said, but one of the things that we always used to love was when we had those opportunities to learn some basic programming, or at least the starting of it. And we used a software called Logo, which had the little turtle. And how I loved that little turtle, because when we would learn to draw and kind of program a set of patterns that this turtle was supposed to then go out and do and then create something. And to do that, you had to use if-then statements. It was the very basics of learning how to program. And we would use we'd use if this, then that. And so we would then set up these processes for this turtle to do. And I said, you know, one of the things about that is when you'd start out and you had the turtle right in the middle of the screen, it was really easy to do an if-then statement. If you do this, then I want you to do that. But as the turtle kept moving and reorientating itself, as it moved across the screen, it became harder and harder for us to make those statements, and harder for us to understand where we were, especially when you didn't see it happening, right? It was going to happen further down the line. And so you would type it in and you weren't sure if it was going to work, and then you'd have to test it. And then you ended up having to start all over sometimes. And I kind of brought that into our text. I said, you know, John paints these beautiful if-then statements. And they're so beautiful because they tell you, if you're orientated towards this, this is where it's going to go. And it doesn't seem that way. And he has to bring you back to the beginning to reorientate yourself so that you can be facing the right way and be going the right direction. And he starts with probably one of the biggest if-then statements that doesn't have an if in it at all, and that is that God is light. And this is what we learn from Christ, is his Father, God himself, is light. And if God is light, then there is no darkness. And then I'd mentioned, well, we always think that in a world today, that if darkness is there, light has to be there. If light is there, darkness has to be there. And I'm like, no, light chases darkness away. There is no darkness in the light. And so if God is light, there is no darkness. He is not the creator of evil. He does not orchestrate it. There is no evil in him. He does not tolerate it. It can't be around him. These are the basic foundations of what's going on. And so then he goes into the if-then statements, right? And he works it down so beautifully as he started in what was that, verse 6, right? He says, if you walk in darkness, you will lie to yourself, right? You're lying, and the truth is not put in practice. A beautiful way of looking at that is, so if you are walking in darkness, in other words, you are walking in what the world is feeding you, walking in what your sins desire of you, you're instantly lying. There's a lie there. You know it's not right, and the truth that you know isn't being practiced. You're not doing those things. But it gets worse, because if you continue in that lie, and that's verse 8, right? If you continue in that lie, and you continue to walk in that sin, now you've deceived yourself. You've told yourself that it's not a sin. You've told yourself that it's okay, right? And when that happens and you deceive yourself and that truth no longer is there, it has left you. It's not in you anymore. So you've taken another step down that course, and you're not positioned in the right way. And then he jumps, of course, all the way then, skipping, right? He jumps to 10, and he says, if you say you have not sinned, That's the next step. So you're walking in darkness and now you're lying. You know what's right and wrong. You choose to walk in darkness. So you're not practicing the truth. Well, now you're continuing to walk in that sin, right? You're continuing to do this. Now you've deceived yourself. The truth isn't in you anymore. And now if you say, I don't even sin anymore. And not only have I deceived myself, but I believe my deception. I believe exactly what I am. And if that happens, you've then said to God, he's a liar. And if God's a liar, then can you trust anything he says? Can you trust in any forgiveness of any sin, not just the one that you don't think you've done, but of any of the ones that you have done that make you feel guilty? Can you trust that those are gone if he is a liar? And that's the step. And the beautiful part is that just as much as he has all these if-then statements of the progression, he has the if-then statements of the redemption. And the if-then statements of the redemption start with the blood of Christ, right? That if we walk in the light, if we are doing what God has given for us to do, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2:10, right? If we're walking as that new creation in the good things that God has placed in advance for us to do, what do we have? Well, by the blood of Christ, we have forgiveness. By the blood of Christ, right? We have these beautiful things. Skipping then to 9, if we are walking in that sin and we've deceived ourselves, what does he say? If you confess. It's not as if you're eternally damned, but if you confess. God is faithful. God is just in Christ, whose blood was spilled for you to forgive your sins, to take those sins away. And it's that beautiful, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain type of moments that if you are in this state, this is then the reality. But if you confess, worked in you, of course, by the Spirit, worked in you, of course, by the law that casts the heart down, God won't leave you cast down. God won't leave you destroyed. God won't say, you dirty, rotten sinner, horrible person, liar to yourself. Instead, he will forgive because that's who he is in Christ. And how beautiful it is as he sums it up, right? If we say God is a liar and we say God, I mean, we can't trust anything that you say because we don't view that we have sinned at all. You then have the beautiful words that end the whole entire statement, right? I write these things to you so that you will not sin, but I know you're going to sin. That's kind of the corollary. I know you're going to sin. That's going to happen. And if it does, if you sin, right? How beautiful. If you sin, we have someone, whether you believe it or not, who is standing before you and God, who stands in between you, who takes the brunt, and that is Christ. And in him, we have forgiveness, not just ours, but everybody. And you have these beautiful if-then statements. And sometimes we get clouded and we don't like them and it hurts to hear them. And sometimes we need to have to reset everything so that we can reorient ourselves, just like that little turtle and that little software learning how to maneuver. But we can because of Christ, and it's available to us. As he leads and he guides and he brings us to confession and he forgives our sins and he reorientates us in his forgiveness to our Savior and to our God, that we may be in the light just as he is in the light. And that was my sermon. So
I really like the picture of programming. I think it can resonate, especially with people who are familiar with robotics or familiar with programming. If you're familiar with automating your own house, if you use something called IFTTT, if this, then that app to coordinate all your Google devices and Amazon devices and turn things on and open up garage doors and all of that, we understand that it programming can, if it's not set up just right, it can veer off course and then reset. Question I have, and maybe sure, you've gone through this as you're talking about that, where it talks about the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The cleansing us from all sin, that's baptismal language, that's a washing language. And sometimes when people think of the blood of Christ, they're thinking like death. But is this blood in terms of life, like this in this is this blood in terms of his life, his light is chasing away the darkness, is this God transferring the righteousness of Christ to us, the light to us, or is this?
Well, it's kind of.
How should we understand that?
So the word that's used, or the same word used in 7, is the same word again used in 9, and it's this idea of. It's the same idea of. I get in my mind this idea of the flood, right? What did the flood do? It destroyed and reset, but it was a constant movement. It wasn't just a sedimentary thing. I guess in my own head, when we've been doing this with our confirmation class, going through defenses for the flood and looking at the world and watching some videos and things that deal with archaeology and paleontology and things, and seeing how these things happened and what we look at when we look at the ground and stuff. And one of the things that keeps coming up is the flood wasn't just the waters rose and they sat there. It moved and it did things and it reset things and it buried things. And I kind of feel that way when I read this cleanse. It's cathartic almost, where it's got this movement to it, right? It's taking something away and leaving something behind. And that's kind of where I've dealt with that. So it's very much baptismal language, but baptismal language isn't just a one time this happened and then it's done. It is something that has taken something away and leaving something behind. That it is, it's a sweeping motion and then deposits. I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, my question is it one or the other? And you answered it. Well, it's both, Dave. It's both the taking away of sin through his death and also giving you something that wasn't there, which is life, which is light, which is also there in the blood, because blood always means life in the Old Testament. So this is it's a both a removing of something and a depositing of something. So thank you.
And you get that in 9, because you have definitely in 7, you have the removal. Your sins are removed. But in 9, you have the cleansing of unrighteousness, which means it's a depositing of righteousness. So where unrighteousness leaves, righteousness remains. So you kind of have that deposit idea flowing from that part of the text.
Okay.
Yeah, my specific law was very simply, we're messed up. And we deceive ourselves a lot, and we condone certain things that we like that we know aren't good, and it leads us to almost make God a liar, because we want to say this isn't as bad as God says it is. And of course, my gospel was, even through it all, Christ is there for you, because they are wrong.
So. All right, let's move on to Brooklyn Park Lutheran Church and Pastor Dave Endorf and his take on 1 John 1, 5 to 2, verse 2.
So I was following the Foundations series from Congregational Services, the Resurrection Reality. We have a meaningful message to share. And as I was preaching on it, I started with the introduction that, you know, there's some messages out there that just aren't meaningful. Like a bad joke, it's not meaningful. But what we have here is something.
Oh, I never tell bad jokes. He said bad joke. He did not say, I thought he said dad jokes. And I was getting offended. And then I realized, no, Dave, your mechanical ears failed you. He was talking about bad jokes and dad jokes, I think not the same category.
Bad. I think he did say
no. I said bad. I said bad. And yet what we have here is a meaningful message. And John presents it in a way that is, an interesting, you know, fusion of Greek and Hebrew culture. The Greek religious philosophy at the time would say that, God isn't really light. God is too far away. and he doesn't interact with this world. You know, light is what God sends into this world. It's kind of like the B team, the backup. And we have problems because the backup isn't the real God. It's this like second or third string kind of God that has failings, that has mistakes. And so John takes that head on and says, no, God is light, and there is no darkness in God. There is no mistake there, because he wants to be with us. And this is what Christ is talking about when and addressing when he says that I am the light of the world, that, you know, God isn't watching us from a distance, like the Bette Midler song. He looks at this world, you know, sinful, physical world, and he came to be with us and to take on our sin and to be our Savior. And so as he did that, we understand that fellowship that he has, and that life, death, and resurrection of Christ is there because we have sinned, and it is there to take away all of our sins, and that sacrifice is like all of the Old Testament sacrifices, a blood sacrifice to purify us from our sin. And so if we say we don't have sin, you know, we're looking at that sacrifice that he made and we're saying, well, you didn't have to do it. There wasn't any reason for it. There wasn't any purpose for it. But we do sin, and that's exactly why he did it. So we end up with this cycle in our lives of confession and absolution and sin and confession and absolution and sin. And the amazing thing about God is that this message gets to be not less meaningful as our lives go on, but more and more meaningful because of how faithful God is and how consistent and reliable God is, that he is always there to redeem us and to forgive us and to wash us clean because of the redemption that comes from Christ Jesus and the purification of all unrighteousness for the sake of Christ and because of his faithfulness, and that never changes. And so we then live in this freedom, and you have that cycle throughout the text here, which is a very Hebrew kind of Eastern way of doing things, where, you know, it's not just a linear, you start at point A and you go to point B, but it's a repetition of, you know, a cyclical way of repeating the point to really drive it home. And so it's just doing that. And that's really our life of again and again. You're free from sin, but you're going to do it. And so God forgives you, and then you're free from sin, but you're still going to sin. And so God forgives you. And then, you know, you come back to it again in verse 1. I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, you know, we have an advocate. And this is where, you know, the world is so hopeless because, you know, everything becomes an addiction. You have a shopping addiction. You know, this is where, you know, I made an application to parents. You know, the world tells you if you parent your kids, you know, they're going to hate you because you're too strict. If you don't parent your kids, they're going to hate you because you didn't do anything for them. And so good luck. You know, and so what are you going to do? And this is here is, you know, that freedom we have in Christ that, no, God loves you. He's going to bless you and take care of you, and you get to live as his dear child. And that's something the world doesn't understand, that, yeah, we get to live blessed by God, and that's completely different from the way the world works. And then even though we mess up, our resurrected Savior is at the right hand of the Father, pointing to us, saying, no, there's my dearly loved child for my sake, because I died for their sins. And he's standing at the right hand of the Father saying, you know, bless them, watch over them, and take care of them. And so, you know, we're not living that life. We're not doing these things out of fear or worry. We are instead doing these things out of joy and peace, because, you know, they make God happy and they please God. And we know that he's standing there interceding for us with the Father. And he's the one who paid for all of our sins. And then we get to share, you know, that same message with, you know, the people in our lives. And that can be a hard thing, because we often don't want to forgive sins even once, much less again and again, the way God forgives us. But, you know, the meaningful part of that message is what it does and what a blessing it is for our relationships to have that solid foundation to forgive them and wash them clean, not because we made them suffer, you know, not because they necessarily deserve it, but because Christ paid for their sins, because God's going to take care of us and bless us, and to always have that fellowship that comes because they're forgiven, we're forgiven, God's going to take care of it, and we get to live in peace, and we get to walk together as God's blessed and dearly loved children, and we have that fellowship walking together in the light. And what a joyful and beautiful way that is to live, you know, not worried about what's going to happen or getting our own or anything like that, but, you know, blessed and taken care of by God and our Savior. And so the more we come back to that in our lives, the more we're going to see how meaningful and important that message is. Unlike bad jokes, which the more you come back to them, the less funny they are.
I agree with the dad jokes. The more you come back to them, the less funny.
I agree that Will needs to get his ears checked, because even I, with my mechanical ears, could tell the difference between bad and dad. But Dave, I really appreciate how you started off saying this is John speaking in a way that is not usual for us to hear in our modern day, and be able to bring something that is ancient and say this is actually true for us here today, and so that people would appreciate and not think, well, John, you're just weird and you can't relate to me. But no, these words actually relate to us, because it speaks of what Christ has done for us and what he continues to do as our advocate before the throne of God. So thank you.
Yeah, I did appreciate that. I'll have to admit, and this is my own way of thinking, my brain got kind of stuck a little bit behind when you started talking about sacrifices. And my brain sort of got stuck in that mode, because I think we so often feel as that everything that we have done for the Lord is a sacrifice and that he should then pay us back. And really it is Christ who sacrificed, and we have nothing that can be sacrificed, because we have nothing worthwhile to give. And it made me think of a conversation that I had on Sunday, just the difference between something that is sacramental and something that is a sacrifice. You know, God uses sacramental things that we get to be a part of, but it's only God who sacrificed. It's God who sacrificed his son. And so my brain got kind of caught up there, but you know, it beautiful to see the work of Christ. And I love how you brought it back to fellowship, which is really his main point. And that was from last week, right? Mm-hmm. Where we have fellowship with each other and fellowship with him. And how you could really highlight that, and where does it come from? The forgiveness of sins.
I think I did that better today than I did that last Sunday, but I'll take it. And well, and your comment about sacrifice is absolutely true. And I didn't really talk about that in the sermon, but there's a great quote by David Livingstone. You know, the Dr. Livingstone, I presume, that guy, mm-hmm. where he talks about where he rejects, because he was a missionary, and so he rejects, you know, that he made any sacrifices because of his missionary work in Africa, because I've made no sacrifices. I got to do missionary work, and what a privilege and a joy and a blessing it was to be able to do all of this and to be able to participate and see the wonders of God. And it's just this beautiful quote of, you know, people think I've made sacrifices, but I didn't. Look what I had to do. And it's right. It's a great attitude towards mission work that I wish I had memorized or could memorize.
But I think this is where maybe it falls into the text as we continue to sin over and over in that cycle, right? We think, well, I've done a couple of these good things, so God should be praising me for that. And I just did this one thing. It's not as bad as someone else. And we always highlight, we want to try to focus God's attention on the things that we think he'll like and away from the things that are bad. And we fail to realize, well, you know, this is a compounding issue. So.
And I think one of the things I struggled with in the text is kind of the cyclical nature for that reason. You know, why does John keep coming back to, okay, you're going to sin, but God forgives you, but you're going to sin, but God forgives you. And because it is that compounding issue, I think, like you're talking about, that, yeah, that God has to keep telling us, no, stop it, but you're still forgiven. Stop it, but you're still forgiven.
Right.
And that's why John approaches it the way he does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, unfortunately, if you have children or a dog, you've had that same thing. The dog does something wrong. Stop it. And then you go and you pet him again. And then go do it again. Stop it. Kids the same way, right? Yeah. Just on a much grander scale with Christ and the church. So
I don't know about you two gentlemen, but I have really appreciated preaching from 1 John. It has been a challenge. It's like he's very beautiful, very direct, like Will was saying. And he's also like his mindset and culture is a little bit different than from what we're used to. But he is still inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he still, because of the Holy Spirit's inspiration, still speaks to us today, and it's a very powerful and beautiful way that he's speaking. So thank you very much, everyone, for joining us today on Beyond the Sermon. Join us next week as we get to Good Shepherd Sunday. I will actually be preaching this Sunday, so I will be able to join the actual conversation instead of being the moderator today. And then also join us now on Facebook or on Twitter or on Podbean or whatever audio podcast you use. Join us on Thursday as we continue our Casting Nets podcast going into the summer. The Lord bless your week.